turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. I've got a full-length message prepared, but no time to deliver it. So go with me there. Let me give you some of the highlights. This message is particularly designed to be the aftermath of camp and encouraging families with regards to following up on what Nick just said about young people coming back from camp on a spiritual high. They were cut off from all technology for a week. They were saturated with the Word of God in personal devotions, in group devotions, in teaching times, in preaching every day. They immersed themselves in the Word of God and listening to God. And now they're home. They're back to technology. They're not being woke up every morning by camp staff and sent out to have private personal devotions. They don't have a camp group around them to sit down and have group devotions, and they're not listening to the Word of God preached every day. And so, will the impact of camp last in their lives? Well, that depends on the home. That depends on what you do as parents. That depends on the nature of the spiritual level and temperature of the home as to what the impact on the young people coming back to a different environment. And so with that in mind, now the message isn't on that per se, but with that in mind, I wanted to share with you something that is foundational and critical. You see on your sermon worksheet that this is titled Foundation of Spiritual Transformation. The foundation of spiritual transformation. God laid this out when Israel as a nation first were given a Bible. The generation that had the first Bible received this instruction. This instruction was a foundational instruction with regards to how that God's truth that had just been incorporated into text had just been written down for the first time in the history of humanity. We talk about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy being the Pentateuch that Moses wrote between Egypt and Mount Nebo, where he died just before Joshua led the people into the promised land. So Moses records the history of humanity from Adam and Eve to the banks of the Jordan River at the promised land. He records the history of humanity with a particular philosophy, a biblical, God-bent, God-perspective philosophy of the history of humanity. And then he sets before them the plan of God as to how this body of truth will be transferred from generation to generation in the future of humanity until the end of time. So this is a foundational, critical passage of Scripture with regards to God's plan on how the body of His truth is transferred from one generation to the next generation for the rest of the history of mankind. This particular passage has always been a profound passage in my life, and my attention was recently drawn back to it when I listened to a podcast the day before I left to go to Greece. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, I thought you wanted me to sing. The day before I went to Greece, I listened to a podcast. I looked up on the website and I ordered the book. Brian Hayes wrote a book entitled Shift, What It Takes to Finally Reach Families Today. And it so impressed me, I ordered it immediately so that it would be waiting on me the day I got back from Greece. I immediately read it that week when I got back from Greece, and I ordered a copy of it and had a copy mailed to Chad and to Aaron and to Greg. I had Amazon send it to all of their addresses. I sent them an email of my heart to them with regards to the content and the message of this book. I then ordered some copies of it for the bookstore. And I think the first couple of copies, you know, I'm kind of cheap. I ordered used books, you know, Why pay 15, 20 bucks for a book when you can get a used one for five? And so there's some used copies for, I think there's $7 actually in the books. There's a couple of them that have come in. But anyway, this book it just really brought to light this passage. And the reason it really it resonated with me is because about 15 years ago, I became very much concerned about how truth is passed from one generation to another. And so I wrote a little booklet. It's called What's Happening? And over the years, we have mailed that booklet to every family in the church when they have a child that turns 6 years of age, 9 years of age, and 12 years of age. They get a copy of a letter from me and a copy of that little booklet, and we've got it in the free literature rack. And it's a little booklet that is focusing on the problem of young people raised in churches who abandoned their faith in early adulthood. And it asks the question, what is happening and what's the solution? And the solution is the passage of Scripture I'm going to read to you tonight. I'll preach the full message later, but I'll show it to you tonight. And so I started putting together a resource list that a parent could take, and in the 18 years between the birth of a child and their graduation from high school, a resource list and a recommended list of things that a parent should accomplish in the life of their child in the 18 years before they send them off at the end of high school. And the resource list was a set of resources that other parents have used. Some of what I used, some what I gleaned as I got information from others that could be used to accomplish the passing of faith from one generation to another generation. And I wrote the book. I also wrote a little booklet, put together a little booklet called Our Articles of Faith Catechism. You know, catechism, the word catechism means it's a teaching technique where you teach by asking questions. All a catechism means is that you ask a question and teach the answer to that so that the person can respond back. And you teach through asking and answering questions. Jesus did it all the time. Jesus was a master at asking questions that resulted in people thinking about that concept. And so we put that together to match our church's articles of faith. So a parent could take the church's articles of faith, take the catechism, and in family devotions, they could ask their children and teach their children the answers to the questions, the doctrinal theological questions of the entire articles of faith of Community Baptist Church. So I put together the resource list. I put together the articles of faith catechism. We've mailed it out over and over and over again over the years. And I have no clue as to whether we have one family in the church that's ever done any of it. You say, well, why would you go to all of that work and not even find out if anybody's using any of that? Well, in the past, my answer would have been from the Old Testament when the Bible talks about the watchman on the wall. You remember the watchman on the wall? The watchman's on the wall and he's there to watch for an approaching enemy. And if he sees an enemy approaching and he warns the people in the city, and the people in the city ignore his warning, and the enemy comes, they break in, they destroy the city. The watchman is not guilty because he warned them. And then it was up to them whether or not they did anything about it. However, if the watchman saw the enemy approaching and the watchman said, nothing I can do about it, and doesn't warn the people, and the enemy comes and breaks through and kills people, the watchman has blood on his hands. He's guilty for the destruction of the city. Now, my response would have always been, my job is to see the enemy approaching and to bring the people of God to understand the enemy and understand how to keep the enemy from damaging their family. I can't make them do that. If they do it or don't do it, that's on them. I can only bring them the information. And then I read this book. And this book challenged my answer as to why I would do all of that and never even know if anyone's ever done any of that. It challenged me to shift my thinking with regards to that. And it does not change the plan of God, but it encourages the people of God to find concrete ways to make sure the plan of God is being followed. Accountability, responsibility, programs that hold the members of the church accountable. So it's not just, this is the problem and you're going to pay a price for it later on if you don't pass faith to your children. And I hope you do it. But it's rather developing a life, church life, whereby people are stair-stepped through and held accountable as to whether or not they are actually passing faith to their children in their homes. And so it really has caught my heart, my attention, and I'm continuing to read it and study it. I've read parts of it about three times. I'm thinking through some different things about it. I've been on their website, studied some of their material. I put it in the bookstore, and in case others want to look at it and think about it as well. And so that's kind of the backdrop. And it hit all of that. Ever since I got back from Greece, I've been working on this message. I've been working on bringing this message. And then it was perfect for the end of camp, the kids coming back. What are we going to do as families to be able to capitalize on what has happened in the lives of their children during the week at camp? The answer is thousands of years old. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in this passage, God lays down a plan that has worked for thousands of years to pass faith from one generation to the next generation. There's so much more I would like to say by way of introduction, but we're just out of time. So let me read the text, make a couple of comments, and then we'll come back and preach the full message on the entire passage a little bit later on. But let me at least give you some things to be able to take home and maybe think about from this passage. Now, if you know your Bible, you know Deuteronomy 6. As soon as you heard me say, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, you immediately knew this is the Shema. This is the Jewish Shema, most important passage of the Old Testament for the average Jew. Quoted twice every day, morning prayers and evening prayers every day, quoted twice by every practicing Israeli Jewish person of religious Judaism. It is extremely important. The name Shema comes from the Hebrew of the first couple of words in verse number 4. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. That would be Shema Israel. Shema is the word hear. But hear is not a mere function of the ear, drum, and sound waves. Hear, O Israel. It's a function of the mind and heart. Hear, O Israel. It is a statement of fact that requires a response. Do I, with my heart and my mind, embrace this truth? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You see the word Lord, both occurrences in verse 4 are all capital letters. That tells you that it's the name Jehovah. Hear, O Israel, Jehovah, our God, our Adonai, our God, Jehovah, our God, is one Jehovah. Now, I want you to see, just step through this. Verse number 4, God makes a statement that is a truth to be embraced. If truth will be passed from one generation to the other, it begins with the adult generation embracing a truth. Hear, O Israel, there is one God. He is God. That means nothing is more important than Him. That means nothing in our lives escapes His influence. a truth to be embraced. Then there is a responsibility in verse 5 and 6. A responsibility. I say a responsibility if it's as if it's singular, but in reality, there's two parts to the responsibility. In verse number 5, the first part of the responsibility is thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God supremely. Love the Lord your God more than you love anything else. Love the Lord your God more than you love anyone else. Love the Lord your God. He is more important to you than anybody in your life. And you love Him. It's a responsibility to love Him supremely with every fiber of my being, with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with everything that's within me. I love God more than I love Betty Elstock. I love God more than I love my children or my grandchildren. I love God more than I love Community Baptist Church. It's a responsibility to love God with every fiber of my being. If truth is going to be passed from one generation to the next, the parent generation, the adult generation, must believe the truth that there is one God and He is ultimate and supreme over everything. And then I must fulfill a responsibility to love Him with every fiber of my being. But then there's a second part of that responsibility. In verse number 6, He says, and these words. Now, what are these words? He's just given the book of Deuteronomy. He's in the process of writing the book of Deuteronomy. He's written Genesis to Deuteronomy. He is writing the word Deuteronomy. Remember what the word Deuteronomy means? It means the second law. It's the second time God's law was recorded. The first time was in the book of Leviticus. And now here's the second recording of the law of God, of what God requires of His people. And these words, these words I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So the word of God must be buried in the heart of the adult generation. It's my responsibility as an adult. If the truth of God is going to go from my generation to the next generation, then I must embrace a truth that God is one. And I must fulfill a responsibility to love God more than anything else and anyone else, and then bury His word deeply into my heart. These words was the entire Bible that they had in print at the time. These words, the law of God, the history of God's working in humanity from Genesis to Deuteronomy. These words, which I am commanding you this day, shall be in thine heart. You must bury all of the truth of God deeply within your being. That's the responsibility. Love God supremely and bury His truth deeply in my heart. And then that prepares me for the plan. The plan. What's God's plan? Verse number 7 says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and talk of them when thou... Now here's the plan of God. This is the plan of God to get His truth from one generation to the next. It's not church. It's not Sunday school. It's not youth group. It's not the Wilds. It's not Rapidan. It's not anything we do as a church as a whole. God's plan has always been, wasn't the synagogue, wasn't the tabernacle for them. They had built the tabernacle. Their worship revolved around the tabernacle. It wasn't the tabernacle. It wasn't the priesthood fulfilling the work of God at the tabernacle. What was the plan of God to get truth from one generation to the next? His plan was for the parent generation, the adult generation, to do two things. Number one, planned instruction. Planned instruction. Verse number 7 says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Teach them. That phrase, teach diligently, is an interesting phrase. I was looking the word up in the Hebrew word translated by the phrase, teach diligently. It means to pierce. You remember the references in your little notes there, Hebrews 4:12. You remember Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even And it describes the Word of God as a sword that would pierce into a body, to the inward parts of the body, even having the ability to divide the joints from the marrow. It has the ability to cut a body in half into the very innermost part of that body. In spiritual sense, the Word of God is powerful. It's sharp. It can pierce to the very core of my being. It can separate between my thoughts and my intents of my heart. It can get beyond my actions, beyond my words. The Word of God can get down into the area of my thoughts, of my motivations, of what's important to me, the intents of my heart. And so the plan of God is, number one, that the adult generation teaches diligently, pierces into the life of every individual God's truth. Teach them diligently unto thy children. It's the home. It's what happens at home. It's not what happens in Sunday school. It's not what happens in youth group. If all the Bible the next generation gets is what they get in church services, youth group, and Sunday school, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. God's plan has always been for the parent generation to have planned instruction. Teach these words. Teach the law. Teach the Word of God. Teach them to thy children. I would ask the question, what materials are you using right now to teach your children at home? Where are you in the Bible teaching your children at home? What are you doing in family devotions at home? Planned times of taking the Word of God and imparting it into the hearts of the next generation. But even that's not the whole plan. Then the plan in verse number 7 says, and not only that, but and talk of them. And then he gives that long list that we've looked at, we've thought about. About this. When do I talk about this to my kids? Well, you talk about this when thou sittest in thine house. That's when you're sitting around the table and you just finished eating and you're sitting there talking. When thou sittest in thine house, that's when you're lounging in the family room and just kind of sitting around at home. When thou walkest, by the way, that's when you're taking a walk out, walking down the sidewalk, walking through the park, walking with the family, driving in the car together. When thou walkest, by the way, and when thou liest down, that's tucking them into bed at night. Before you go off to bed, that's going into the room, talking to them, praying with them. When they lie down. When thou risest up, that's getting up in the morning and having and what you talk about before everyone goes off their separate ways. When thou risest up. And not only that, but he says, you'll bind them for a sign on thine hand and frontlets between thine eyes. Wear the Word of God. They were called phylacteries to the Jews. They took the Word of God. They wrote it out. They put it in a little leather box. They put a strap and they tied it on their forehead. So they walked around with the Word of God on their forehead. They would do the same thing on their hand. They would put a little leather box that contained the Word of God and they would wrap it. And so they wore watches. They wore the Word of God on their hands. They wore the Word of God on their foreheads. Now, people think you're really weird if you did that. How would you wear the Word of God? Well, a lot of people wear the Word of God on their t-shirts. And they've got scriptural verses or sayings or things that are attention getters that give them the opportunity to talk to people about the Word of God. Sometimes they wear it on their clothes. But that's what God's plan was. Wear the Word of God. And then he said, also put it on the post of your house and on your gates. In other words, put scripture verses up at the gate, on the gate, and on the doorposts when you go in the house. Some people put up Christian artwork to decorate their homes. They decorate their homes with scripture verses. They have things that are on their walls and in their home that speak of God and speak of God's Word. Decorate your home with the Word of God. Decorate your yard with the Word of God. It would be a way of saying that. This was God's plan. Now this informal instruction was not a formal planned instruction. It's just when you're doing life, always be talking about God. When you see something happening, relate it back to God. When something happens on the news, it's You know, that reminds me of something we were reading in God's Word last week. When you see something happen in the supermarket, it's, you know, the Bible says I should do. It's informal conversation about God every day of your life, relating all of life back to the Word of God. Now, I'll give you a little clue here. If you don't have the formal instruction, you probably won't notice the opportunities for informal instruction. Because your ability to notice the God sightings in life depends on how well you know God through His Word. The more you formally study the Word of God and know the Word of God, the more you're able to see God in action every day of your life. God's plan has always been the home. It is not the church. It always has been the home. Church can only help parents be effective in passing faith to the next generation. God's plan for the history of humanity has always been for one generation to pass to the next generation through formal and informal instruction. And it begins when the adult generation are so serious about God. They have embraced the truth. There is one God. And they have loved Him supremely in their life. And they have, because of that supreme love, they've taken the Word of God and they buried it into their soul. And now they're able to say to their children, follow me. Be what I am. Because they've modeled their love for God in front of their children every day. And then a generation can grow up and embrace the truth that the adult generation embraced, because the adult generation has lived it and then taught it and talked about it every day. This is the plan of God. And you know, the best shot we have at getting the truth to the next generation is not hiring better staff or better Sunday school teachers, or ordering better Sunday school curriculum. All of those things are a blessing. And I thank God for every one of our Sunday school teachers. I thank God for every one of our children's workers, youth workers, everyone that works to help families, to be an asset to families in the training of their children. But when it comes to the end of the day, nobody will take the place of dad and mom. Spiritual transformation has always been a matter of the home. And the church at best can help the home or be the safety net to catch the ones who fall between the cracks because it's not happening at home. But the ideal plan of God is the home. God bless you as families. God bless you as you seek to live Christianity every day. And then to impart that to your children so that they can live like you live. And in so doing, embrace the truth of God.